Welcome back to What Your Therapist is Reading. I'm your host, Jessica Fowler. On today's episode, we're going to try to keep it clean, but no, there is some language in the title of the book, and you'll probably figure out how we're trying to keep it clean. We're talking with Lynn Dutrow about her book, Aligned AF, Transforming Your Inner A-Holes into Allies. Lynn Dutrow is a licensed clinical professional counselor, author, and compassionate ass kicker with a background in psychology, education, coaching, and motorcycle sales. A story for another book. Lynn specializes in supporting the responsible rebels to do less, be more, and enjoy their success with less stress. The responsible rebels are brave small business owners, empathetic entrepreneurs, and purpose-fueled professionals. After today's episode, make sure you head on over to social media. You can find me at Therapy Books Podcast. And as always, the information shared on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome back, listeners. Today, we're talking with Lynn Dutrow about her book, Aligned AF. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I am well. How are you, Jessica?
I am good. I'm excited to talk about your book, but I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about the title and how we're going to proceed in this podcast today, because we're going to try to keep it clean.
Yeah, I understand. I really appreciate you having me on your podcast, considering the fact that the title of my book and some of the language in it is not exactly clean. So I'll go ahead and do my best to say the title without getting us into any trouble or offending anyone. It's Aligned as the F word, transforming your inner A-holes like anxiety into allies. And so for listeners, if that kind of language offends you, this is probably not the book for you or to recommend to your clients. I do know, though, that there are plenty of people out there who find the title catchy and want to know more, which is kind of part of the point of it. And I use a lot of humor as well as salty language in the book to, I guess where this came from is I feel like I'm an interpreter between psychobabble and, you know, what people real, like what I would call real language. So that's how this came to be, the title and all of this. So,
which yeah. I think makes sense, because I can see that even the idea we don't talk a lot about is having those parts of us that we may not like and actually turning it into allies. And you do it, you do it in a way that just makes it more common language of how to actually proceed doing this.
Yes, that's what a lot of the feedback I get is that I made it digestible, relatable and digestible. So that was the goal.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I thought we could start maybe a little bit about just sharing about yourself.
Okay, so I think I came out of the womb being a good listener, at least that, you know, so I think I've been a therapist like sort of all my life, but I actually did resist officially being a therapist for a long time, but I am licensed. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor. And I guess about, 15 or 16 years ago, I did decide to specialize in the area of anxiety and mental health. And along the way, I also found that, especially for people with high functioning anxiety, a coaching approach works really well. So I made up a word, which is directive cognitive behavioral therapy. That's my approach. It basically means I do a lot more talking and coaching in both my therapy, and then I also have a coaching practice. We're talking earlier. I have a menagerie. I have some dogs. I have some goats. I have a kid, and I live on a little piece of wooded property in the mountains. And I've discovered that I actually like being an author. So I have the book, and I also have just finished the first draft of a companion workbook to go along with the book.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you cut down trees, I learned.
Yes, we cut down, we do our own firewood here. So I cut down trees, and I don't just chop wood. I own a chainsaw.
Nice. Doing all sorts of things up there.
Oh yeah. All sorts of things. I get bored. So, we got all kinds of stuff going on here.
So let's talk about this. What is your approach to turning
and anxiety, and you actually kind of list what that can look like in the book, into mm-hmm. allies. What does that mean? So our listeners know kind of what they get from this book.
Yeah. So I'm talking about those negative voices in our head. So you have a loud inner critic or a voice of doubt, your imposter syndrome or anxiety, the parts of you that tend to panic, tend to be critical, all that negative thinking. And we have a tendency to think that it's in charge or think that it's in control, that we have to do what it says, that we have to believe what the inner critic says about us. And while so many people can still function and function very highly, it's so stressful. And so what the point of the book was, is to turn the tables around, because so often people will come into my office and say, I want to get rid of this. I want to get rid of my anxiety. I want to get rid of this negative voice, the way I feel about myself. And I have to deliver that news. I'm not going to call it bad news, because it's just news, that you can't get rid of it. You're not meant to get rid of it. It's all part of our survival system, but you can teach it better social skills. You can let it know that you're in charge and that it's an employee. And so you're turning the tables to use those parts for what they're meant to help us with, and not get so caught up in the negative aspects of it, so that you can, so they can be more like an ally. You don't have to like them necessarily to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they can tend to take over. And once you, even just using the language of parts, I think is always so helpful. Like, that's just a part of me that
yes
is anxious, and what do I need to do to make it an ally?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you walk us through what that might look like?
Okay. Yeah, the place that I typically start with people is, and this is how it goes in the book, is just acknowledge and accept to begin with. You know, so getting past this idea that we're going to get rid of how you feel or get rid of the thoughts, and to say, hey, they're here, and you don't get to have control over that part of it. So acknowledging, okay, yep, I get it. You're here. I accept this. And then I take people through the step of anthropomorphizing these parts, these a-holes in your head, if you will. That was a really powerful turning point for me when dealing with my own anxiety, was when I realized that if I just allowed those parts to be sort of amorphous in my head, like a big, you know, cloud hanging over or smothering me, I didn't really know how to deal with that. But if I could turn it into a character, if you will. So my very first attempt at this for myself so many years ago was, my anxiety looked like, to me, looked like that blobby green, what I call the Mucinex monster. So the blob, big snot blob from the Mucinex commercial, you know, a bully, you know, used, you know, kind of I'm moving in kind of thing and taking over, and you're going to do what I say. Because once I did that, then I could begin to understand, like, where's my anxiety coming from? What's its backstory? Why is it doing what it's doing? And as you begin to understand it better, you know, so I'll give you another example, like my inner critic, I call Great Aunt Busybody. And it literally is shaped after a great aunt of mine who was the B word. Well, I'm kind of trying to keep it clean here. So she was just really mean and nasty. Let's just put it that way. And, but because I could understand like her story and where she came from, that began to help me relate to my inner critic in a different way, relate to my anxiety in a different way. I could help to say, hey, like, I get what you're doing and I get why you're doing it. So now we're going to change this, because it's not okay for mm-hmm. you to talk to me this way. It's not okay for you to hijack me this way. So that's where I start with people, is getting that process going, so that then we can begin to look at other aspects of how, like, our language impact. So the way we're talking to ourselves and the language we're using, it's actually, you know, I kind of apologize in the book that once I point all of this out, people might hate me for a little while, because you're going to hear anxious language everywhere all the time. It makes it hard to get in a van with other moms, like from my daughter's school, and drive to a field trip. So I start wanting to go like this, you know, put my fingers in my ears, because we use this, you know, we use that language all the time, and it just makes us more stressed. So
yeah. Can feed off of each other.
Yes. So
that, I can see that, right? When you kind of know and have this idea that it might be coming from a place.
Yes. Right,
that anxiety, this is what it looks like and presents. And then you can kind of see it all around and what's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I love that you kind of help people identify that there's these different parts, the anxious part, the imposter part you talk about, and just acknowledging that and thinking about starting with, I can see what you're saying too. They may not like you, because now you're saying like, we got to be allies. We have to just acknowledge that they're there. And what I always tell people is that the more that we ignore it, the louder it gets.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Ignoring doesn't work in this case. You know, as I say, embrace it. You don't have to like it, but embracing it, being willing to be uncomfortable, is a real key to being able to make the change that you want.
Mm-hmm. And in the book, you have these, what do you call it? The IRLs in the end. You kind of give it a scenario in real life.
Yeah.
Like, this is how it could present and what it could look like.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what it felt like. And I give more examples in the workbook too, because that's the feedback I get, is it's like, oh, okay, this is funny, you know, and the way you talk about this is a great concept, but how do people actually put it into practice in real life? How do you actually do this? And that's something that came from when I first started doing this work. I would make a joke that one of the things that I love about working with people with anxiety is they think a lot. And one of the challenges is working with people with anxiety is they think a lot. Mm-hmm. So I realized pretty early on that, you know, we're overthinkers and spinners, and what's really important is learning to take action. And so the in real life action steps, what do you do for these things? And so that's why I have people actually sit down and write out, you know, the story of their backstory for their inner critics. So hopefully the examples in the book, the in real life examples, will help people even better relate to the action steps that I'm asking people to take to go through this.
Nice. How would you, in one or two, three sentences, how would you describe this book to people who are picking it up?
A fun way to spend a few hours getting to know yourself, your inner a-holes a little bit better, and full of action steps to help you with the transformation from a-hole to ally with those parts.
Nice. What made you decide to write this book?
I got tired of repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again to clients, and realizing that if I was only saying it to clients, it wasn't getting any further than that. So the book was a way for me to put all of this down so that I could reach even more people, because I think it's really important work. I think it's, and funny thing, even especially post-COVID, you know, even 15 or so years ago, when I was talking to my coach and about anxiety, and I said, oh, but every therapist out there, you know, has depression and anxiety on the back of their card. And she said, yes, but everybody has it. You know, we all experience anxiety and these other inner negative aspects and are stressed by them. And so if I can bring some humor to the table and help people, recognize that it's not as, it's not that it's easy work, but if I can make it easier for people to relate to it and choose to do the work, you know, I get a lot of times people saying, oh, I never thought of it that way. Well, maybe the book will help people think of it a different way, get a different perspective, and find their purpose, their passion, their way of, and a way to relate to it so that they can get past the parts of them that are holding them back, then my job will have, you know, writing the book will have been worth it.
Yeah. I love that. And I think you're right to all of that, but that idea that you have to do the work, it's one thing to pick up a book, and this is true for any book on the podcast. It's one thing to pick it up and to read it and then to have the knowledge, but mm-hmm. to actually practice it and move forward yes. with it is a lot of work oftentimes.
It is. And that's why, so two things. That's why I made the book. I feel like the action steps are really doable. That was the goal. Like so it's like, you can get into this momentum. You have to take the action step. People so often think that they have to feel motivated or inspired first. No, you just have to start taking action. The motivation and inspiration will help keep you going, but take the action step first. And I really felt after the book was done and I got some feedback, it's like, you know, there's so many more action steps that I can help people with. And so the companion workbook for people who are ready to do that will be that next step too, because you got to keep going. Mm-hmm. This isn't something that you just, again, you don't get rid of it. So you have to learn how to be willing to keep taking the steps to keep that transformation moving forward.
Yeah, I look at it as, so it's one thing to acknowledge that those parts exist, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about making them an ally, which means you got to still keep talking to them.
Yes.
And recognize that they're there.
Right, exactly.
Can't just say hi and then like move on and continue on, and therefore they're not going to exist anymore. So
right, yeah, you got to keep that conversation going and flowing for sure.
What are one or two takeaways that you would like your readers to walk away with?
That it's doable. It absolutely is doable. You can actually enjoy your life, your successes with less stress. Mm-hmm. You can figure out how to relate in a different way to these parts of you that have probably been around since you can remember.
Yeah.
But it is absolutely doable, and you can do it with some humor. Even if you were like myself, born with resting bee face, you know, been called intense, you know, all of my life, discovering how to use my version of humor to bring that into the equation, that's an important part too.
Where can our listeners connect with you?
The easiest way is my website, and it's just my name. So www.lynndutrow.com. You can also check me out on both Facebook and on Instagram.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of What Your Therapist is Reading. Make sure you head on over to the website or social media to find out if there's a giveaway going on. The information provided in this program is for educational and informational purposes only, and although I'm a social worker licensed in the state of New York, this program is not intended to provide mental health treatment and does not constitute a patient-therapist relationship.